Up next, we're going to visit with Stephen Coyne. He's also a featured writer at this week's Great Plains Writers Tour and Writers Symposium at Mount Marty College in Yankton. He's the author of It Turns Out Like This and numerous short stories and poems. He teaches at Morningside College in Sioux City, Iowa. Stephen Coyne, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you very much, Lori.
So I asked you to send me something that you had written, and you sent me this story, and I almost missed my own show today because I was reading it.
Well, I hate to contribute to being delinquent at work. But
right. It's an occupational hazard I'll go ahead and take. Let's start with the short story as a form, because I'm wondering how prevalent is that? How many writers are really interested in the short story these days?
Well, I think a lot of writers are interested in it as a form. I read a statistic the other day that 200 collections of short stories were published this year alone.
Really?
So obviously the production end of things is fine. The consumption end of things is uneven, I suppose you could say. It's difficult to find agents who will handle collections of short stories because traditionally they don't make money, although there are some exceptions. And so I think short story tends to attract writers who have maybe purer motives, purely artistic motives rather than commercial motives. And so you're more likely, I think, to get a fairly high-quality story in a short story than you can guarantee yourself of getting when you pick up a novel off the rack in a grocery store, for instance.
Well, one would think it would go the opposite. As we become crunched for time, that we would all be sort of snapping up short stories that we could finish in a short period of time.
You wouldn't. I think it is suited to the modern lifestyle, and there is a movement to publish stories increasingly in a sort of a smartphone format, reasoning that that's exactly the kind of thing that you might want to read when you're waiting for something, an appointment of some sort.
We just talked with Christine Stewart Nunez about how a poem happens and sort of her workshop. You're talking about fiction at, I believe, 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow at Mount Marty College in Yankton. Give me an idea, a little hint at what you might be talking about there.
Well, I'll be talking about a variety of things, and it'll take a different shape depending on the interest of the audience. I'm reluctant to say how a story happens because, for me, it seems never to happen the same way twice. And I think that many writers employ different kinds of methods and different approaches, and so I try to have a fairly light touch when I'm offering insight into my process. It may not be yours, and so that's okay. I think usually most people who want to tell stories have had an experience that they want to let somebody else in on. And the challenge is, how do you do that using only words? It's a really limited art material. And different. You try mightily to tell this story, and you won't manage to succeed. But what you will do is you'll tell some other story that will have taken on a life of its own in the process of you trying to tell the story that you had in mind to begin with.
Really?
And I think that as you try to tell the story you have in mind to begin with, you generate a lot of material that confuses and is messy and is unformed and unshaped, and it forms a kind of a primordial stew of literary possibilities. And out of this concoction arises a story if you keep at it long enough. And it will have a kind of life because it comes out of an organic process. I think that if you try to plan a story using an outline and approach it in a purely logical fashion, you'll often wind up with a product that is wooden and not it doesn't feel alive.
So this takes a certain amount of trust in process, then?
I think you have to be, if you're one of those kinds of writers who does a draft and then does another draft, but doesn't throw away the first draft, keeps it thinking maybe that was a better draft, that it's difficult to move forward. You have to be willing to say, okay, the next draft is going to be better, and I'm not going to look backwards. I'm going to go forward.
Now, Christine talked about sort of showing up for the work and sitting in the chair and practicing. Is it the same thing with universally across genres, where sitting down in the chair and practicing on a daily basis is essential to the work?
I think it is. I think for any art form, a dedication to it is essential. It's just too hard to do. If you didn't feel motivated internally to do it, you wouldn't mess with it. And I've heard the distinction made between a publishing writer and a not publishing writer is that the publishing writer has managed to keep his or her behind in the seat for a longer period of time. And you just have to keep at it. And you have to be willing to be critical of yourself, and you have to seek out the advice of people who know more than you, people who are better than you, and be willing to take that advice if it fits. All these things. And practice reading out loud is essential in fiction as well as it is in poetry. The language still has to flow in fiction. And so, yeah, I agree that that sort of drill approach to writing is an important part of the process.
How do you know when you have a short story on your hands versus a longer piece of work or a poem?
That's a hard thing to know. You know, it seems, for me, it comes, that seems to be a decision that's made before I even begin. Although I have certainly written poems that tell stories, and I have written short stories that are kind of poetic in their lyrical illogicality. I think that if change and development and desire in a character is the central part of the situation you're dealing with, then you're more likely to be in the presence of a story. Hmm. If shimmering images and powerful vignettes are part of what you're looking for, then maybe you're in the presence of poetry. But I have written poems that I could have also rendered as short stories, and I think I've gone the other way around too.
I almost never ask people about their influences, but as I was reading your short story, now is this, it's called Still Life. Is that published in a book form somewhere that I can direct people to?
Yes, that is one of the stories in my current book. It turns out like this.
Okay.
And it was printed originally, let me see, where was that? That was printed originally in the South Carolina Review.
Okay, so that makes some sense, because I wanted to ask you about setting, and mm-hmm. and then roll into influences just for a minute,
okay.
because there was a few writers whose voices came, not voices, but you know, some commonalities came to mind when I was reading it, and I was curious to know who your influences are for short story writing.
Well, who I like and who I would love to be able to model myself after may be different from who I wind up sounding like.
Okay.
But I suppose the most immediate influence that sort of kicked me off as a fiction writer was Flannery O'Connor, the Georgia writer, short story writer. I liked her southern setting. I liked her mysterious characters. And then a love in literature that I've had since high school was Hemingway. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to be able to be as terse and poignant as he is, although that's mighty tough to do.
That's where I went. I went to Hemingway. That was my first, and I was feeling like risky to even say it because I didn't know.
Well,
but that's where I had that flavor to me in a really positive, but yet not a cop, you know, in a unique original voice sort of way.
Uh-huh. Well, Laura, I will take that.
Okay. My favorite are those, you know, those Nick Adams stories that he did. I just remember falling into those and just never really letting them lose their grip on me. So thank you for that. This story deals with hospice. It deals with cancer. It deals with love. It deals with work in some ways, parenting, all kinds of things in a very short package that accomplishes a lot in just a few pages. Are those sort of the hallmarks of a great short story?
I think that in a way you could say describes the short story. A lot happens, and it typically deals with not only the he and she of it, but also the where of it and the kind of the class socioeconomic situation of it. I think those are all bound up in most successful short stories.
You've talked about helping other writers become successful, and I'm wondering if we could just spend our last minute here or so talking about that. How do writers pass that on to other writers to help them get to the next phase of their writing lives?
I think that you have to strike a balance. Well, first of all, it depends entirely on the person who wants the advice and who wants the guidance. If they don't want it, you know, you can't give it to them.
Hmm.
But I think you have to balance it between, it is hard work, and you have to apprise people of how hard they have to strive to do what it is. And no one has to read a short story, and so in order to make a reader want to read one, you have to pull out all the tricks that writers can use, and it takes a long time. So you have to, you know, give them a sober sense of what the enterprise involves. At the same time, that you have to reassure them that you, too, at one point didn't have a clue about what you were doing.
Hmm.
And that you felt your way blindly through this matter, and that there were a few people in life who just said, you know, here's how I did this, and you may have found that useful, and you offer that for what the writer, the would-be writer, can make of it.
Hmm. At one point, you two didn't have a clue. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
You had
a point, or
maybe you still have those points when you're sort of swallowed up by something and you think, I don't have a clue right now.
I have clues about more advanced problems than I used to have no clue about.
early
attempts to tell a story, I was full about all about where people were, what they were doing. It went left, it went right, it went up, it went down, and I needed to skip over all that and get to the human stories.
Hmm. Stephen Coyne is tomorrow doing a fiction workshop at 11 a.m. in Yankton at Mount Marty College. This is part of the Great Plains Writers Tour, and for the first time this year, the Writers Symposium. It's an annual event. There's also a reading that evening at 7:15. We'll put some more information up on our website, sdpb.org/Dakota Midday. Stephen Coyne, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us a little extra time there.
Lori, thank you so much, and it should be a good event tomorrow.